Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Gisela, and sorry for this interruption in the call. Is the line okay, or this I'm including
perfect
noise
line.
In
Would
my voice?
Would you like a quick roll call, Olga? Sorry.
Oh, yes, please, go ahead.
Now that the recordings have started, good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's call, we have Olga Cavalli, Krista Papak, Claudia De Ganji, Tuck Gomes, who's only able to stay on for 30 minutes, SS, Victoria McEvdy. From staff, we have Rob Hogarth, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and apologies from Rafik Damak. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Good morning, good evening, everyone. I'm really happy and impressed about all the progress that we have made with our recommendations. I have just checked the email sent by SS. I'm sorry I didn't have the chance to see it before, SS. I just saw it. I didn't go in deep through your document, but I think you did a great job that we will have the chance to review each of us with our groups and constituencies. Also, Claudio made excellent comments in relation with the document sent by Julie and Chuck. Some of them I think are very good, interesting, and maybe should be included in the recommendations. Also, Claudio made excellent comments to the document sent by Victoria. And Krista and myself, we have been working on her recommendations, and Julie and Chuck have already sent them. So I think we have very good background and base documents to start thinking about how to build together a final draft recommendation. But I would like to go through the subtask leaders one by one and hear some comments about the documents that each of you have drafted or will be drafting and sending to our list. This is why I didn't send specific agenda for the call today, as we were going to review our progress. Do you think this is a good idea to proceed? Any comments? Great. SS, again, sorry, I didn't go in detail reading your document. I just saw it this morning. I have been engaged with some other things I had to finish yesterday, but I think you did prepare some recommendations, and perhaps you could tell us some outline of your document and some comments so we can give you some feedback during the next week.
Okay, SS here. Now, the one document which I sent hardly an hour ago, well, I don't expect much from members because they would have hardly seen it. And as I mentioned, the email that it could be reviewed next week and then we could discuss, but still I'll give them that. But before that, I'll come back to the that membership. I have elaborated certain portions, and so far I have not received any comments, and believe we could, if there are no comments, we could make it as a, final. I'll request Julie to, put into the this wiki. This one. So if any still some comments are there, they can follow in the next few days. I'll come back to the document what I circulated just now. Now this is, I picked up membership clause and made the recommendations. And this I based on this staff analysis and what earlier we have been talking about and this GNSO requirements. So I'll read one by one. This is about A2I subsections are there in that. Shall I read one by one?
Let me check the time. I think if you go, it's not a long document. Just go ahead. Why not? Yes.
For a brief discussion, I call this stakeholder group and constituency in this my document as group.
Yes.
So a group shall form rules and procedures for admission requirements of an interested party as a member in clear and simple terms. Such rules and procedures shall be part of its charter or bylaws, whatever they call, but most of the people I found, they call it charter. B is, as far as possible, there shall be uniformity in membership. If there is more than one class of membership, reason for it shall be clearly stated. I found that some of the constituencies, they have multiple class of members. Well, it is left to them depending upon. But then there will be some explanation so people know to which class they, which slot they form, so, while applying for membership. C is, the group in clear and simple terms shall list rights, duties and responsibilities of its members. This was one of the recommendation, staff recommendation. A simple application form shall be devised for membership and it shall be publicly available in the group's website. I found in one case that it is very simple, just half a page of it, and that could be just sufficient.
Okay.
Status of new application and admission decision shall be publicly available and an applicant shall be kept informed about it. That's what we have been talking about. This is covered in my last chapter.
Deze oproep is...
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh.
This F is, in case of rejection, an application or a dispute, the applicant shall have recourse of appeal to a neutral third party. The group shall constitute such a neutral third party in consultation with or under the supervision of ICANN. This is what one particular clause I suggested in the last document.
Yes.
And WT may think about it. EG is, every member shall remain in good standing. It is about throwing out a member or finding it unpalatable. Every member shall remain in good standing until the group has decided otherwise. In such an event, the member shall be given an opportunity to be heard. There shall be, I think there's some, this probably grammar mistake is there, will be made clear-cut simple rules for such an eventuality. The affected party shall have right of appeal to a neutral third party. The group shall constitute such a neutral third party in consultation with or under the supervision of ICANN. This is the same repeated from the last one. H's list of members and their contact details shall be publicly available in group websites. All members, unless otherwise stated, shall be eligible to participate in the business of the group and have equal voting rights. This is until otherwise stated, because if a constituency have more than one class, then probably there will be different rules.
Okay.
A group may levy reasonable membership fee in keeping with the capacity of its members and group's budget. Such fees could be debatable in the general body of its members. So now WT could see it and add something more and...
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
This is Tony Harris joining. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
Tony, good morning. Welcome. Thank you very much, SS. I have a question and we can open a queue if there are some other comments or questions to your document. What you mean, maybe it's my, the limitations of my English. It's, I lost it. Every member shall remain in good standing. What is that?
This is like, there is a termination of membership. That is one clause some constituencies have. Good standing means there is no complaint against the member.
Okay.
That's what the good standing, the term used by the constituencies.
Great. just a clarification, just I didn't know the expression. And also that in the last one, a group may levy reasonable membership. What does mean? Does it mean?
That is a membership fee, annual fee, some constituencies levy. So that should be not exorbitant.
Okay.
And it should not be left to the executive committee alone. Members should have their say into it. That's what it is.
Thank you, SS, for the clarifications. Any comments, any questions to SS document?
Olga, this is Claudio.
Claudio, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious, SS, did you send the document to the list?
But it just arrived maybe a half an hour ago.
Okay, because I'll just check my fill. Because I got your email, Olga, but that references the email.
Yeah, very just hardly one and a half hours ago. And really, I didn't expect that there will be debate on this, but it's very good that probably we have started. So you could see it later.
I can resend it to you.
Okay, thank you.
I can resend the SS document to the list if it's not a problem. We can have it two times, but that's fine. Any other comments, questions to SS? Okay, thank you very much, SS. I think it's a great document. I commend you for doing this job. I would like to all of us to take a look in detail of what SS has prepared. I would like you also, SS, if you could add it in the document, all the background documents that you used, or if you talk to someone as a background information when we prepare our final report that will be sent to the OSC and then to the Council and hopefully in time to the Board. I would suggest, you may disagree, but I think that Julie and Chuck did a great job in their Toolkit Services Recommendations document where they put an introduction, a background, and then they go directly to the recommendations. We perhaps could use that format to have that in mind for preparing our final draft document. And so if you could, SS, include in your document the background, maybe the group knows it, but it's good to let the others know where is the background for our outcome. You think that's
okay.
Fine?
No, I'll agree, Olga, with you. So I'll give references for this document. Now, let me tell you, this is just part of the subtask one. So once I have prepared all the parts, I'll put into one file, and there I'll give all the introduction, background, and all that.
Perfect.
But in each case, I'll give references.
Great. I think, could we have this more complete document maybe during the next week, SS?
I'll complete whole of the thing next week. I've
Great.
Been a little slow due to several reasons on my side, but I do feel that I should complete it quickly.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your effort. Any comments to SS? Should we move to Krista? Krista, you're on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Olga, this is Chuck.
Chuck, good morning.
Sorry, I was on mute. I wanted to thank SS for his work. It seems like it's a good start. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I appreciate him going through the details of it.
Thank you, Chuck. I also agree with you. He did a great job. Sorry, Krista, I interrupted you.
Oh, no worries. Sure. Sorry, I thought we were going in order, so I wasn't quite ready to be called on.
Yeah, why are we not going in order?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're totally right. So sorry. It's Victoria. the next one. I'm so sorry. My apologies. Victoria, I must confess, I didn't have time to go in deep through your document. I just saw Claudio's comments, which are really very detailed, and thank you, Claudio, for sending this feedback. And perhaps you can tell us what's the status of your draft recommendation.
Well, Claudio's the only person who's commented, I'm afraid. So I was hoping to have all comments in from the members of the subtask group. So I think, Olga, are you a member of the subtask
yes,
group?
I
think
I
you
am.
Are.
I,
so I'm waiting
I
for you.
Yes.
People aren't obliged to comment, obviously, but I think that... so we're waiting for you. Who else is in the subgroup?
Rafiq, I think, maybe.
Yeah, right. I think that's it, isn't it? Okay, and Michael, you said you were going to comment. Is Michael with us?
I don't think he's
no.
Paul.
No.
Okay, fine. So I think what we need to do is what I was thinking, and perhaps people can let me know their views, is I was thinking we need to put a deadline down of next Wednesday for comments to come in, because then I want to basically rework the report to reflect all the comments, and then we need to perhaps meet within the subgroup to see if we can form a consensus, find areas of agreement, work out what is and isn't contentious, and see if we can take these things forward. So if it suits you, Olga, could you work with a Wednesday deadline?
I would say that perhaps Tuesday could be fine, because
that'd be great.
I really have been very busy this week and didn't have the time to review it, and it's I'm in your subtask working team. So I will provide during this weekend some feedback. Claudio did his and maybe we can, among the sub-team and the whole team, make comment also. Perhaps we can set up a due date by Tuesday, because we hopefully would have a draft document by the end of next week. So
well,
we
that's
don't
right.
have that much time.
Like I say, we haven't had the comments in yet. So, I mean, first of all, they need to come in. Then we need time to digest them, I think, and then I'll need time to work them in. And I'm practicing as well, so, you know, I mean, I need a little bit of time to get to things, I'm afraid, and
I
to
know.
Turn them around. So let's start with the Tuesday deadline and see how many comments we get in, and we could perhaps decide on the list. And as I said last week, anyone is welcome to comment, but if everyone could follow the Tuesday deadline, that would be great.
Great. I totally agree. Again, my apologies. I will do my job, and again, as I told SS, perhaps Victoria, I don't remember right now if you already included in your document, but having the background documents and background associations and where the
I did, Olga. It has a full background of its own, and the issue,
right.
The focus is slightly different from Julie's. So I think my own view is that people should feel free to have their own background, because the points that you want to reflect in your background are not the same for each issue. I mean, the points that you want to give emphasis to. So it already has a very, very full background. But if people want to add comments for consideration in terms of the background as expressed, they could do so.
Okay, so if we can add that and have the feedback, and then perhaps we can review, you can draft the recommendations, and we can have that part a view for the whole document.
Great.
So
and Olga,
yes.
Sorry, can I ask you a question? You're participating from a non-com perspective. Is that right?
Yes.
In terms of
yes.
the subgroup, not
yes.
as the chair as such.
I am. Well, that's a good question. I don't work inside any constituency, so I have kind of a outside view, which I don't think is good or bad, but it's what I have, and from the community perspective, perhaps. So this would be my perspective of my comments.
Great.
So, any comments, any questions to the document that Victoria had circulated, or anything that you want to add or tell her? Okay, we have this Tuesday due date to send Victoria comments to her document, or Claudio already did his homework. I will do mine. And we welcome your comments, and if not, Victoria, it's okay. And once you have our comments on Tuesday, then you can move forward and include all the background and all that in your draft document. Thank you, Victoria, very much. Now, Krista, I'm sorry I missed I changed the order. Krista, go ahead.
It's no problem. I was just confused. So... Olga, thank you again for drafting sort of a...
My pleasure.
Putting a framework together for the the recommendations for our team. I mean, it's a work in progress. Unfortunately, this is a really bad time for me from a work perspective. We're in planning for 2010, and I'm just knee-deep in that. So the deadlines that we are trying to work towards are quite challenging. You know, with that said, one of the questions I think I have, we did, you know, to your point, not everybody's seen this, so Olga, this is just me commenting on what you sent, but recommendations, action item one, recommendations for database architecture and alternatives. As I understood it, now that I read this again, I feel like it says, what are we recommending for the architecture? And my understanding was more that we were providing sort of high-level recommendations, and this is something that I discussed on the call, I think, July, in early July that we had, mid-July?
Yes, yes.
Basically, you know, Ken Bohr's feedback, Bauer's feedback with us was, you know, you can do whatever you want. We talked more about the architecture having permissioning, various permissioning levels so that these privacy concerns that people have could be addressed, et cetera. So I just want to make sure that, I mean, I don't know, Tony is a lot more smart about these things than I am, or a lot smarter about these things than I am, but I don't know a lot about database architectures, but rather putting recommendations out there that address the concerns of the community, not the actual architecture of the database. Is that correct?
Hello. Yeah, this is Tony here. From my recollection of what we discussed in Sydney, that was going to be resolved by a staff proposal. I may have understood that wrong. The subject of the architecture.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this is why in the draft document I sent you yesterday, my question was, should we ask about this architecture recommendations to the ICANN staff or to the IT people in ICANN?
So let me do this. Let me follow up with Julie, because she was with us. You might be right, Tony. I'm sure you're right, and I just don't recall. But Julie, if that was the case, that would be something Julie was helping us with anyway. So let me follow up with her and then try to work that in here, or if that's not the case, then figure out sort of a plan B.
This is Chuck. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we can hear you, Chuck.
Okay. I'm going to have to drop off after this, but let me make one comment. I think what Tony said makes a lot of sense. I think everybody understands it's not our task to design the architecture, but we certainly can recommend requirements that need to be fulfilled by the architecture. So working with IT and staff is a good idea, but it's up to us to make the recommendations in terms of what the requirements that the architecture needs to fulfill. Anyway, I'm sorry I have to jump off for a conflicting call, but have a good rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Chuck.
Okay.
Thank
Bye, Chuck.
You for joining us. Bye.
Yeah, just jumping on what Chuck just said, I think he's right on with that. Basically, what would give us an idea of things we need to ask for would come out of the results of what we discussed with all the constituencies about, you know, their willingness to have their members listed and any qualifications or restrictions they want added to that. To the implementation of such a list.
Yeah, which is sort of the point of exactly, Tony. That's the part I mean about the permissioning and things like, you know, addressing these concerns that the constituencies, you know, mentioned in the various conversations we had with them.
Because there is an underlying concern about privacy. I mean, was able to quickly read SS's document, which does have a mention of. You know, the constituency members should be listed with their contact details, and that's put in as a recommendation I don't know what his first name is, but it's SS, I think. I'm not too sure if all the constituencies, I didn't get the sense when we, at least the ones I talked to, would be happy with having their email addresses publicly exposed. that they have no problem with, you know, their name and affiliation being listed, but their email or telephone number is something completely different.
This is SS. Well, I'm not going into detail, but I did find that some of the constituencies, they have given contact details. So maybe either we could elaborate what details should be given, or it could be left to the constituencies what details they want to give.
That's fair enough, yeah.
Could I just
I don't disagree with your recommendation, by the way. I think people who are active in the Internet should be identifiable. But there are other considerations, unfortunately, such as identity theft and things that are going on.
It can be read in many ways.
Can I just make a comment as well? I mean, I know that a lot of work was done on privacy issues in relation to the slightly different, but in the WHOIS context, there's been a huge process within ICANN. And so perhaps for individual members, there are concerns that aren't necessarily as applicable for corporate members, and it may well be worth having a look at some of the reports done by the, I think there have been about four WHOIS working groups, and there's been a lot of work done about it, and it's, I know it's highly contentious, and it may well be that some of those issues are appropriate. But I also noted in the staff's recent comments that there's a new recommendation made by the staff that constituencies should not have, that no individual, no member can be a member of more than one constituency, which is a brand new recommendation. It may well be we should formally incorporate that into our work somewhere, but if that is to be the case, then it's very important that people can't join the same, that there can't be duplication through other means, I suppose, and that may become an issue in terms of how would you know that unless the information's publicly available. I just raise that in case it's relevant.
Well, actually, I was on all four of the WHOIS task forces since the year 2000, actually, and I can tell you that there's never been agreement. And there still is no agreement on the question of privacy and publication of contact details. As to this thing you were mentioning, I'm not too sure I'm understanding. Are we going to recommend that people cannot be a member of more than one constituency? Is that something we are going to be writing into our recommendations?
The staff have already recommended that. I think maybe Rob can speak to that. It's in his document, I believe, of the 15th of July.
Well,
yeah,
what's the reason for that? It doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Well, if I can clarify, the recommendation, if I'm remembering correctly, the one you're referring to, Victoria, was not to limit joining multiple groups, but to make sure that if individuals did do so, that they only exercised a vote in one of them. So I guess, and that's where a database would be important, to ensure that people weren't casting multiple votes in multiple places.
Right. Yeah, it's just a footnote, so that maybe needs to be fleshed out. I think it was just a footnote, wasn't it, somewhere?
That may be right, yes. I'm sorry, I just don't remember at the moment.
Well, that doesn't seem like such a good idea because, I mean, in a large corporation such as Microsoft, they would probably have interests in participating in several constituencies for entirely different reasons. And I mean, why shouldn't they be able to do that? And what I understand is being restricted so far, at least in the life of the DNSO and the GNSO, both incarnations. You were never allowed to have two council members belonging to the same commercial or corporate interest group. But they could. You could have a corporation belonging to the business constituency, the ISPs, the IPC. I never heard there was any restriction about that.
Hang on, I found the exact reference, and perhaps I am overstating it. It's actually in the bylaws. It's in that. It's a footnote number 10 to the bylaw amendments that were posted for public comment. And what it says is rationale. Hang on. I'll just read the reference for you. Just given that we're on the issue, 10. Hang on. Oh, no, it's been deleted. Hang on. No, it's come out. It was in the bylaws, No individual or entity shall be excluded from participation in a constituency merely because of participation in another constituency. So you were allowed to join, but that's been deleted. And there's footnote 10, rationale. Staff recommends deleting this text. In its role of reviewing stakeholder group and constituency charters, the board should ensure that membership and voting procedures are designed to preserve fairness, participation, and inclusiveness, while minimising undesirable consequences that might occur due to multiple memberships. Okay, so maybe an entirely different point, mightn't it? Although the original point was related to an individual entity participating in more than one. Rob, does that help refresh your memory?
Or? It helps a little bit, but I wasn't working primarily on the bylaws. I'll be more than happy to take the ticket, though, to get back to Margie Milam to get further clarification on that. I was going to
be
sharing
important.
With you guys. Yeah, well, and I was going to be sharing with you guys anyway the fact that the board did meet in the last couple of days and did approve a final set of bylaw documents. There was some active discussion during the meeting, and so I think Margie's putting together that final package to release to the community along with the board's preliminary report. And so at that point, we'll see what the definitive language is.
Okay. I'm not doing it. I don't want to make a big issue out of this, but if it's going to go into our report, it did seem something needed to be thought out.
Yeah, some very good points.
So, this is Krista. I'd like to go back to the privacy discussion if we're done on the multiple voting and multiple stakeholder groups topic. The discussion that I gave on the July, I think, 11th call, I'll go back to this privacy thing and say that the discussion that we've had both with constituents and the power of ICANN IT and then again on this call was that people's details could be in the database. They can put as much detail or as little as they want, but there would also be these sort of access and permissioning levels. And as an example, I'm a member of the registrar constituency or stakeholder group, is what it is either called right now or going to be called very soon. And people within, as a point of example, people within my stakeholder group can see my contact details or not by me allowing that. They can certainly see my name and maybe my company name, but maybe not my phone number and email address, depending on what I choose. And then you can go to the next layer, which is maybe at the GNSO level, and I can choose to give people certain access, so on and so forth. And so, you know, to kind of address Tony's point and SS's point, I think that people aren't necessarily precluded from putting this information in there as long as they've got the ability to pick and choose the types of members of the community that can see those specific details. And depending on what we find from in Rob's next report, you know, maybe it makes sense to make sure that we have a field in there that annotates whether somebody is a voting member or not, if that becomes a relevant topic.
Great, Krista. Could it be possible if you can add that information to the brief document that I drafted with you yesterday?
Yeah,
somehow.
Absolutely. I mean, again, I apologize that this is just very bad timing. I wasn't expecting to run into deadline for recommendations. Those comments I'll definitely capture in the document, and then I'll
also
follow up.
I think it could be very important if you can add as a background the same that I mentioned to SS and to Victoria, as a background, who did you meet with, all the constituencies and all the people that you had the chance to meet in Sydney or virtually or through telephone calls. And there we can state also that we tried enough with NCUC and we had possibilities of contacting them and getting feedback from them. So that background information should be relevant for your document also.
Yeah, Krista, if I might suggest, since you're having a lot of problems talking to Robin Gross, I understand, have you thought about contacting Mary Wong?
So yeah,
Tony, let me interrupt. We did send emails to everyone, and I think that we have to try. But Mary was traveling. Bill did not respond, and Robin just set up some times with Krista, but she was late. And I think we tried enough. I mean, we should try again. I don't know what you think.
No, I'm sure you did everything you could, and I'm just surprised because Mary seems like such an approachable person. That's why.
I know. I'm surprised because I find them very approachable, but I think we should focus on recommendations right now and use the information that we have, and we move forward. We have some contact in time that we already use and we tried. I don't know if you agree or not.
Yeah, sure. Let's move ahead.
Yes, let's move ahead. We don't have
And what's
time.
Decided for everybody is decided for them, too. It's the same recommendation.
Yeah, I think it should fit their needs.
Well, they've got the chance to comment afterwards, so
exactly.
Maybe we'll hear from
they
them
have
there.
They have a chance to comment. We are not obliging anyone to use our recommendations, and then they can use the comment period to say yes or no, I like it or not. But
exactly.
We have to move ahead. We have a deadline of preparing this document during next week, and I think Krista did and you did what the best that you could, and I also tried to help, but it didn't work. So, Krista, could you add the background information and all these comments that you have exchanged? Perhaps, Tony, with all the experience you have about who he is and privacy, you could help Krista. It's not my area of knowledge in updating the documents and with recommendations.
No problem. I don't know, has it been sent out? I haven't seen it in the last few days.
I just sent a draft document to you and to Krista yesterday, but it's my mother's help because I am not a specialist in privacy or who is issues, but you are.
Okay, I'll look for it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I'd like to. Do you mind if can I join your? I'd like to comment on because I know quite well. I know a little bit about privacy law, so I wouldn't mind being on the. If you're having a sort of subgroup list, I wouldn't mind being included, and I'll try and spend some time on that because I think that I hear what you say, Tony. I know that no agreement was reached on the WHOIS issues, but I think there are some really, really crucial issues that someone should be raising in this context. And if the NCUC aren't focusing, then I'm perfectly happy to look at that from a perspective of internet users. I mean, I think that should be an interest for all of us.
Okay, I have no problem with that. Welcome.
So I have another question about number four, Olga. The coordinate with the OSC communications work team. So I did speak to the chair of that team and said, hey, these are the things they were thinking about. Mason Cole, he said, yeah, that sounds great. I don't know to what extent should I be coordinating? They have a massive undertaking that they're working on, and I'm just not quite sure how. I realize how they overlap, but I don't know to what extent we should be in our recommendations talking about this coordination.
I would say as they are also doing their job at the same time, perhaps we could focus on the other points of your subtask, and then they may comment on our recommendations. I don't know if this is a good idea or not.
Olga, this is Rob. My suggestion would be because Ken Bauer seems to have a foot in a couple of the different teams, it might be helpful for us to have a conversation with him, and he can help sort of coordinate those efforts, at least providing the information to both teams to note where there may be some potential overlap. My sense has been that that's been managed pretty well up till now.
I have another question, Rob. If they are handling these issues, maybe if there may be overlapping of our work and theirs, perhaps we can focus on the other subtask issues and leave this one for them. Or just we should coordinate them with them before, not to leave something not attended.
I'll chat with Ken about it. I think you know with all the other work that you all are doing, both work-wise and volunteer-wise, the last thing we want to do is create any extra effort. And you know, it may be a case where, as you've stated, Olga, they do or finish their work and you guys comment on it or vice versa, but probably is a case for the steering committee to coordinate so that both aren't working on the same thing.
And maybe I can just forward, you know, Mason's the chair of our constituency, so I certainly have a direct line to him.
Okay.
Maybe I can even just forward when we get closer on this to him and just say, you know, how does this fit in with, you know, what you're doing, and see if, you know, that facilitates coordination.
That sounds great.
Yeah, but that's only one point of all your subtasks, so we can focus on the other ones. And Victoria, just for clarifying, it's I'm not part of the subwork team, but just join Krista to help her. It was not a draft special sub drafting team, so you're welcome to join in this effort.
Thank you.
Julie, are you on the line?
No, she's not here.
No,
okay.
I'm a poor substitute for Julie today.
Sorry. Okay.
I'm sorry. I do have one more question, Olga.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You have a question in here. ICANN will provide infrastructure and services for this list, for number three.
Yes.
GNSO discussion list. I guess, maybe I should just make the statement. I think that that's a given, that the database and sort of all the architecture for this would be provided by ICANN.
Well, we should, yeah. That's a given. That was my question. I didn't know.
Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't missing something else there. So that's
No, that's fine. Any other questions, comments for Krista?
Yeah, I have one. I may have missed this. Are we recommending that this list actually that there be a general GNSO made list set up? This is something we are recommending? It's a question.
I think it is. We already have it. I don't know. I didn't get your question, Tony.
It was listed as one of the things we should recommend. I'm talking from memory now, but this really it would be a reincarnation of what was known as the General Assembly, where they had a mail list that anybody could post to. We're thinking of this. This will be an open mailing list for anybody to participate in. Is this correct?
I don't think it should be open. I don't know.
Well, you would sign on as a member of the community. I forget how they did it, but anyhow, when we did this many years ago, it was an absolute nightmare. Because what happened is you had four or five chronic posters just sending, each of them sending 30 mails a day and arguing amongst themselves, and it was absolutely useless for any ICANN community purpose.
So, Tony, the conversation that we had in Sydney with Ken and yourself and Julie and I was not that it would be an open list, but rather similar to what we have today, more similar to what we have today, which is, again, the different lists that are specific to different stakeholder groups, for instance, and communities, again, with permissioning, and that if I'll use my own constituency, or let's use the ISP constituency has a discussion list, that people can't just join it, that there's again, this permissioning, so that only maybe, I don't know how your constituency is structured, but your executive board or your secretariat or whatever can add or delete people from the list, and so that you don't just get sort of rogue people posting on your discussion list.
Okay.
That was my idea. I never thought about a totally open list. I totally agree that they are total nightmares, and two or three people capture them, and the rest of the people get don't want to participate anymore. And I have experienced that with other groups. So I didn't think of an open, totally open list. I agree with the comment that Krista is making.
Okay, fine.
This is Claudio. I'm just trying to understand the comment that Chris, because if you're limiting it to, you know, if you're talking about a constituency, then you could say, you know, it's you need to be part of that constituency or part of that stakeholder group to join. But if you're, I'm not sure how you would limit it if it's supposed to be for the whole GNSO. And, you know, with the working group model and basically, you know, allows anyone to participate. So how would you limit who could join the list?
So I guess what I'm saying, and sorry for not being clear, Claudio, is that, no, to answer Tony's question, no, the recommendation is not to have an open GNSO discussion list.
Okay.
For one and all. The recommendation is to maintain something very similar to what we have, if not, you know, what we have today, where there's different levels. It should tie back into this, you know, overall database of information and at least have a tie to it so that you can limit the different discussion lists to the appropriate members and that there's somebody who has control over those lists that can add or delete members.
I see. Okay.
Is this covered in, I'm sorry, I mean, this seems like really important, and I haven't seen anything in writing, so I can't really intelligently add to this discussion, but is there a proposal on the table that we're actually looking at?
So, no, that's the thing I'm working on. And I did discuss this in quite a bit of detail on the July 11th call, but no, there is nothing in writing, and that's the document that I'm working on.
Okay, sorry for that. I just hadn't been paying attention. And I have to say my preference, just given that we're having this discussion, is that should be open and publicly available, and I don't see the need for levers of permission. But then I haven't been focusing on this discussion. So, but I just want to put that down, and I can comment in writing when I see a written proposal.
Victoria, Krista has been working on a document with me and Tony, and she will be circulating a new version once she had put all these comments in writing, and then you will have your chance to add your opinions that are very good.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. We have 3 minutes left. Julie is not on the call. Claudio made some very interesting comments about Julie and Chuck's document. I would like to ask Julie, and I will ask her in the list, if those comments that Claudio made could be included. I don't know, Claudio, if you want to say something about it.
Yes. I mean, basically, one of my comments had to do with having an option for providing funding to the constituencies or stakeholder groups. If staff wasn't able to provide one of the services for whatever reason, that there would be basically funds available for the groups to use to get that service that they wanted. Basically, Julie and Chuck responded back that they saw some implementation questions involved in that, and they asked for some further feedback on exactly how that would work. And then I just made a few other comments about one of the other service options had to do with assembling background information for the working groups. I just wonder if that really belonged in this, because it seemed to me like that was something that was for the whole community and not really tied to a constituency or stakeholder group. So I just, for clarity purposes, recommended that out. And then I suggested also that the possibility of including the option for staff to help manage the financial records that the stakeholder groups or constituencies.
I thought your comments were very good. They responded, and my question to Julie, or maybe to Chuck, but they are not here, is that if they can produce a new draft document so we can review it with your comments. So I'll send her this comment. I don't know if you agree with my idea, but perhaps they can produce a new draft document and we can review it with your comments.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay. Okay.
I have a question about
sure.
the recommendation about staff managing financial records of constituencies, Claudio.
Sure.
Is that something that's been done in the past, or what's the sort of thinking behind that?
I don't know if it's been done in the past. I mean, I don't think it has. But I think just the thinking is if it's just record keeping and like an administrative task. That you know, it might be useful to the constituencies since it's not really, you know, directly related to the purpose of a constituency.
Meaning it's optional for a constituency to use staff to manage their financial records or mandatory?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I was just thinking that some might be sensitive to not wanting, you know, staff managing their financial records or whatever. So
that's,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, as far as the ISP constituency, we always done that ourselves. Whatever funding was belonged to the constituency was handled and all the records were kept by the secretariat, not by ICANN.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Claudio.
Sure.
Any other comments? Great. We are on time. I will write right now an email to the list, and remember to send each of you your documents for the rest of the people to comment. I will do my best to answer as soon as I can Victoria's document. We should try to make a draft document for the end of next week. I can draft it perhaps with Julie using the format that Julie already used for her document that she prepared with Chuck. I think it's a great format. If you agree, I can start thinking about a final draft document with that format. So I need the backgrounds of your documents and your draft documents so we can share them, we can comment them, and we talk again next Friday, and we keep in touch through the list.
Excuse me, Olga, you're not going to call any other business? I'm sorry, because I was waiting for it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's just we're running out of time. Do you want to say something, Victoria?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask Rob, because he spoke so briefly, so we didn't get the information that I wanted from him about what's going on in the process that we discussed in our last meeting.
Oh, you're right.
So I just need very quickly to find out that background, because, Rob, just to update you, Julie told us in our last meeting that I think the stakeholder group charters have been approved by the board, I believe, was at the 30th of July. And I think that, was it by the 30th of September, you were going to be having discussions, we believe, well, she explained this week, I believe, with constituency leaders about constituency charters. And we are obviously concerned about the overlap with our work and the timeframes. And I don't know if she updated you, but we discussed on our call last week trying to complete our work quickly so that you will have the benefit of our work when you have those discussions to be completed by the 30th of September.
Yes, thanks, Victoria. And I was actually writing down notes suggesting to myself that I'd have to write you all a written report because the call ended without us having a chance to talk about that. In just a minute's briefing, we have reached out to the various existing constituency leaderships just to provide them with some recommended language for how they could update their existing charters, the bare minimum necessary to conform with the new stakeholder group structures that the board has approved and the bylaw amendments that are, you know, going to be created. We didn't have the benefit of a final bylaws package, so what we've shared with them has been language focusing purely on structural matters. You know, there are charters that refer to constituencies that don't reference the stakeholder group. In the case, for example, of the commercial stakeholders group, you know, now the decisions are being made at an executive committee level about the GNSO council representatives and the rest. So the purpose of this outreach was merely to get the documents consistent structurally. We provided to them the old staff analyses that you guys have seen to say, you know, please keep this stuff in mind. But we also reminded them that you guys are continuing your work and it might be a more efficient use of their time not to continually reopen and close their charter deliberations, but just to do the bare minimum right now because your work recommendations will be produced in the not-too-distant future.
Great. Thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate that update and also the content of it because that was going to be the follow-up question, whether or not we could footnote to them, you know, that our work is coming and keep that to the presence of anyone's mind during this process. But you've already done that, so thank you.
Thank you.
My apologies, Victoria, for not asking if there are any other business in the call. Just
no problem. Can I just add one more comment, Olga, to what you said earlier? I mean, I think we perhaps on the next call we can discuss the format of the final report, but rather than my own I have a proposal myself, and maybe other people have suggestions about how we go about preparing the final report to avoid duplication. I would we could discuss that on the next call.
I don't think that we have that time. Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. When should we have the draft document to be sent to the OSC?
That's something you should discuss directly with Chuck in his capacity as chair of the OSC. In terms of timing for Seoul, I think that if the council has it, and this is just off the top of my head, so I apologize. I'll correct this. I'll correct the record if, after further deliberation, I think I have the time frame wrong. But I think if you guys have something by the end of September, we'll still have the opportunity to have some OSC discussion and perhaps be something teed up for the new council in Seoul. In terms of work team efforts that are going on right now, the only real gating project that's of primary importance is the work of the the GNSO Council operations team and their work on operating rules and procedures. That's, that's a critical must-do by Seoul. I think
Rob, sorry to interrupt you. In the last call, I don't know if you were in the last call, last Friday, we are doing a special effort in preparing some recommendations to be considered by the board in their call in September 30th. This is why I'm asking you if we want to have this document reviewed by the OSC and by the GNSO and then sent to the board, this timing, I was asking you if you think that we have more time than the end of next week.
Probably not. The only reason I say that is because the board will expect all the papers that they need to have through preparation of their 30 September meeting by around the 16th or 17th of September. And so then if you start to back out an opportunity for the OSC to schedule a meeting to meet, to deliberate and discuss things, they still need to pass it up the, if they're going to be formal recommendations, they still have to be passed up the food chain to the council. So I think it makes it a very difficult, tight time frame.
It's a tight agenda. So, Victoria, I understand your concern, but I think if there is something that we have to discuss about format, we should do in the list during this week. This is why I thought that Julie's format of her document, I'm not saying it's the only one, I thought it could be just an idea of using the same format as a whole background for our document.
Well, I was really just going to suggest that our work may actually already be done for us, Olga, because if we complete each report, we can just stitch the reports together. I mean, it can be a compendium of the four reports, and perhaps we could do a joint introduction and conclusion.
Okay.
So that was just where I was going to go with that, because it would save redrafting from scratch when we can just seamlessly put them together.
And I can be the one compiling the information. Maybe Julie or Rob can help me in doing that. I'll ask Julie if she has some time available. But I can compile all the information. Of course, you check it afterwards. But we don't have much time. So next week will be crucial for achieving this.
Olga, this is Claudio. I just had a question for Rob. Working, looking at the dates that he just was working off of, I understand that the GNSO Council, I think they have their own rules for when material needs to be posted to their list so they could consider it at their meetings. And I'm just looking at the dates, and I was thinking, Rob, can you estimate? Do you think that there might be enough time for the council to consider this before September 16th? Because next Friday is 4th of September, and then it would have to go to the OSC, and then it would have to go to the GNSO Council.
I think, excuse me, can I just jump in there? Because Chuck had suggested that could happen at the same time. The OSC is just steering us,
yeah.
not reviewing
yeah.
us. And it was Chuck's own suggestion that, that could be contemporaneous, just in case it's helpful.
Claudia, well, if I may, I don't think the OSC will take time. I know Chuck, he's not on the call right now, but he promised to deliver it very quickly, and he's attending our call, so the OSC is aware of our work. And in the GNSO, my suggestion would be to share it in the council list with a due date and see if we receive some comments and insist on that a little bit. And I don't know, Rob, what you think about it.
Well, as you know, Olga, the schedule for the council is a meeting next Thursday, September 3rd. Then their next meeting is not until September 24th.
I'm
sure that there could be some flexibility. Of course, I can't speak for the board or for the council. But, you know, if you were able to set up and coordinate with Chuck a timetable for a consideration and a vote of the council at the September 24th meeting, then, you know, something could be shared past the board paper receipt deadline, and, you know, the board would, you know, have the opportunity potentially to discuss it. You know, as you all know, there are a number of different winds going in different directions on this. There may be some in the community who say, you know, these recommendations are something that the new council should consider, not the old council. But I think in terms of your specific work and recommendations and coordinating with Chuck, I'm sure you can find something to get something before the council at its 24 September meeting at the very latest. And that may be what you want to look at, combined with your thought about email circulation, dialogue on the council list that would help give this a good airing.
Rob, so we should go through a motion and voting process for this document in the council?
The way that the implementation planning process was set up, there was an expectation that work teams would make their recommendations under the coordinating efforts of the steering committees, and that ultimately the council would have an opportunity to review and vote on them. That's the assumption I'm continuing to operate under. Chuck, you know, when you guys get together again or on the email list, may have a different interpretation. But that's my understanding of the
plan. Okay. Let's share these ideas with Chuck and Avery, and maybe we can find a way to make our voices heard by the board. This was the idea of doing all this effort right now.
I just had a thought. This is Claudio. Do you guys think it matters the way we present the material? I know Victoria's last suggestion, which I think is, you know, makes sense, is to combine all the reports. But as far as when they're going to be considered, do you think that makes any difference? I mean, would it be easier for the council to consider them if we sent them as separate documents?
I would say that if we send as a one document, would help a lot. If not, it would be very much confusing.
If I can make one last comment, this is Rob, with just a personal observation, particularly given all of the challenges that we've been experiencing with this push to seat the new council in Seoul, is that I think more time is always better to complete work and to have everybody comfortable with the thoughts and recommendations that are being made. As some of you may know, there have even been calls that the board should put a moratorium on any new constituencies until, you know, after there's further discussion of stakeholder groups and constituency structures in the GNSO. And so my only caution would be to rush to a finish line and then find that, you know, the documents that you've worked so hard on don't get considered for another 2 months or something. And so my thought there is to really make sure that you do have that conversation with Chuck and Avery to make sure that there's an opportunity to have the dialogue.
Okay, thank you very much, Rob. Let's try to get Chuck's comments on the list and perhaps then with Chuck and Avery. But we try to keep our commitment for finishing something for next week. End of next week, we have another conference call, same time next Friday. And we have some, I have agreed in doing some things. I will detail them in a document, in an email. I will write right now so I don't forget anything. And I don't know if anyone wants to say something more. Okay, thank you very much for your participation. Thank you for this special effort that you're doing in achieving this. I'm very proud of our working team. I think we're doing a great progress, and I commend you all for this effort. So let's keep in touch during the week, and let's talk to you. I'll talk to you again next Friday.
Okay, thanks, Olga.
Have a nice weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Thanks, Olga. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Olga.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.